Hey, welcome back to the Millionaire Marriage Podcast. I'm Taylor Kovar here with Jeremy Gilliam, and today we have an awesome episode that is described, right, as from what I've read, as the silent killer of relationships, which is unmet expectations. Jeremy, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we talked about this season one, but when we were collabing about some topics to talk about, this came up again because it's incredibly important in marriages, in relationships, that we don't have unmet expectations. I do agree with the quote. I think it is a silent killer. And yeah. You had mentioned off camera that, you know, people want to talk about, they want to talk about sex or money or all these things, but they aren't talking about some things that are really main things.
Yeah, because even if sex or money or communication is an issue, it almost goes back to, well, I expect this from sex and or money and our communication, regardless of that exact topic. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So I think, and part of what we talked about in season one on this topic was no one goes into marriage with this idea that I hope it ends in divorce.
I mean, unless you're a gold digger, right? Because that's the whole plan is.
Okay. So if you're listening to this and you're a gold digger, I'm assuming then you want your marriage to end in divorce. But yeah, for the vast majority of people, they don't go into marriage hoping it ends in divorce.
Hopefully most of our listeners don't fall in that category. Yeah, hopefully.
If you are a gold digger and you're listening to this episode,
call us. We'd love to help you out.
Yeah, and that's exactly
I say,
right.
No, maybe not help you in that scenario, but help your marriage grow stronger. So you want your marriage to last.
That's
yes.
Right. Okay, so unmet expectations. So the idea behind what we talked about before was no one goes into marriage hoping it ends in divorce. The challenge is people go into marriage, and one of these killers of marriage, especially at the very beginning, but also long term, is unmet expectations. But the challenge with unmet expectations, there are two things I wanted to bring up today. I think the first thing for me is an unmet expectation. I think the first thing you have to ask yourself, is my expectation rational, or is it an irrational belief about what marriage is, what marriage could be, what marriage should be? And so when you're looking, before you get to even communicating your expectations, this is where I think some really good self-reflection comes in. I think people need to ask themselves with what they're expecting. Is my belief, is this irrational? Is this expectation irrational? Do I have this fairy tale idea about what my marriage should be? Do I have this fairy tale idea about what my relationship with my spouse is going to look like, or what sex is going to look like, or raising kids is going to look like? Is that irrational?
Yeah, because I mean, at some point you have to look and say, you know, if I'm expecting my spouse to make sure the house is perfectly clean at all times, and there's always a 5-course gourmet meal on the table at every meal, and our kids are perfectly healthy and happy and whole, and they don't drop anything on the floor right at dinner time. And you know, also she makes $1 million a year as, you know, an executive, and at some point that's not rational,
right?
There's only so many hours in a day. You can't do it all.
Yeah, I want to back up. And I know, I think most of our listeners are in relationships, probably married, but maybe not though. So here's what I will say. I think even before you are choosing a spouse, this is something that you need to be asking yourself about your expectations for marriage in general. Are they irrational or rational? And I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they were talking about why some guys feel that they are unable to find a mate. And one of the people said, well, are you batting out of your league? Like, are you trying to get people that you guys aren't even in the same wavelength?
Yeah.
So, but with that said, I think this really needs to start before the marital relationship, this idea about this irrational belief, because if you can conquer that before you jump into a marriage, because you're right, the challenge is if I'm already going into this expecting that home life is going to be one way, expecting that sex is going to be one way, and there's a lot of reasons why we have these ideas. And
well, Disney plays a big part in it, right? And so, I mean, yeah, we all grew up watching these movies and reading these books
where once upon a time,
and it ends with, and they lived happily ever after.
Right.
It never talks about, and they lived happily ever after for the next 10 minutes, right, whenever they said I do, and they got to walk outside, and they got to do that first kiss and hug, and then everybody else came up to them, and then the whole world fell apart, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't talk about all that part.
Right.
So we go into it with these irrational, I love how you put that, these irrational beliefs about marriage, because this is all that's ingrained in us growing up is, you know, you grow up and you get married and you live happily ever after.
Yeah.
And so often whenever happily ever after doesn't turn out so happy, people don't know how to cope.
Yeah. Well, I do think you're right. I think first, a lot of our understanding comes from what we are subjecting ourselves to, which causes us to see things differently. So here's a story I have, and I don't know that the story was told when our wives were on, so I can't remember. So when me and Erica were engaged, I'm in Seattle working, making, you know, trying to save up a bunch of money for our first, you know, several months of marriage, because I didn't know how long it was going to take for me to find a job when I got to Texas. And so she calls me one day, I'm at work, and she just says, Jeremy, I just don't know. And I'm like, you don't know what? She says, I just don't know about us. And I'm like, have you lost your ever loving mind? I literally am in the middle of work. And I said, well, you need to call me back when you figure this out. I was hot. I was not happy. And so through like a long series of events, several conversations, she had gotten this perception of what a intimate relationship would look like, meaning a husband and wife, or at that time we were just engaged. She thought that I would just fulfill all of her needs. She wouldn't need friends. She wouldn't need family. She wouldn't need anything. Well, that's not realistic. But she was getting that idea from like these, and these were like Christian novels about how these men would come in and they would swoop up their women, and that's all they would ever need again. And like, I mean, this is a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge with some of our beliefs, is they are perpetuated by movies we watch, by things we listen to, by books, by magazines, social media. When it comes to expectations of what marriage should be, I told Erica last night, I said, I really just want to delete Facebook. I don't already get on there a lot, like very, very seldom. And then when I do get on there, I want to throw up, because I'm looking at these people and I know they're so fake, yeah. Right? People. So I think there are two extremes on social media. You have people that all they share is everything, all of their woes. And then you have people that only share the highlights of their life. And the challenge is when you get people that are only sharing highlights, and you have people that are like influencers, and they're going, oh, life is so great. And look what hubby bought me. He bought me a new Louis, and we have a new house and a new car. And it's like, I want to throw up on your shoes, because I know that's fake.
It's all fake. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably like our... Well, the number one thing I tell our employees and then the newlyweds that we work with is, hey, who are you following? Right? Get on your spouse's Instagram and look and see who they're following. Who are you following? Because all of that content you're putting in your mind day in, day out,
yep,
is affecting the way that you perceive life. And that's, to me, that's so, I have to sit and say, okay, let's pull up your feed. And we'll see the picture of like, oh, here's us having breakfast in bed, right? Yeah. Me and the husband and the kids, and we all have on matching pajamas, and we're on the perfect white, you know, perfect white comforter. And I say, who do you think's taking that picture? who's taking the picture, right? Is there a photographer there? Because you got a bunch of different angles here, right. And you got perfect lighting. If mom, you know, is even running a remote taking the picture, how weird is that? Like, that's not perfect childhood to me.
Right.
And so all that stuff you're putting in your mind, you're putting in front of your eyes day in, day out, definitely affects our expectations.
Yeah.
And we've talked before, you know, I know plenty of couples who, you know, they always post these amazing pictures and life is just wonderful. But we know behind the scenes that they hate each other, sleep in separate bedrooms, and they can't stand each other.
These
and
people,
like,
you know, personally.
Like, I know personally. Yeah, right. Right? Multiple right. Couples. I know personally that have confided us, right, and that we've worked with, then I'm like, well, your Instagram looks like you guys are killing it.
You're a
like,
fraud.
Like, you are awesome, and yet instead you hate each other, yeah, behind the scenes.
So I wrote this down, and I want to read it verbatim, because it when I was getting my thoughts together for today is if you've looked to fictional sources for relationship rationale, that's exactly what you're going to get: a fictional belief about your relationship. If you look to these fictional sources about what my relationship should be, that's going to be what your perception is. So your expectations already are going to be faulty. And so I think being firmly planted in reality, and I talk about this a lot. I talk about this a lot with the clients I work with. We have this, I don't know, I think there's a lot of things that's perpetuated our expectations of what relationship is. I do think the media that we consume, I think that's a big perpetuator of it. I think also only seeing, and the challenge is, right, is we only do see people by and large on a surface level. Because most people, when you say, how are you doing? They're not going to say, oh, wow, everything is terrible. Oh, no, everything's good, 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 good. Everything's good. And so I think there's a lot of reasons why we have this perpetuating false ideas about what relationships should be. And so we go into our marriage relationship, or even raising kids, we go into these with these false rationales about what healthy relationships should be, instead of what actual healthy relationships are. Healthy relationships are work. They're work. They take time and effort. So if you're listening to this and you're going, well, man, my relationship doesn't look like the people I'm seeing on Instagram or TikTok. Right, because you're not seeing reality. If you're a guy and you're looking at this and going, well, this doesn't look like any of those like perfect influencer wives that I see. Right, because they're fake. Like that's not reality. I know hundreds and hundreds of couples. I know none that you walk into their house any given time and it looks like a magazine.
No. Even people that have like people that clean their house and take care of their house still have messes. They still have drama. There's still things that happen behind the scenes. There's still work. Right. And I think that's where we forget a lot of times is when we have these expectations that there's work on both sides. There's work on both sides of the aisle that, hey, we both have to pull our own weight. We both have to work toward making this relationship as great as it can be. One of the quotes I read was expectation minus observation equals frustration. And it's like, hey, you know, we have these expectations of that the house is going to be perfect, but I'm observing that the house is not perfect, and that leads to frustration. And that frustration just breeds resentment time and time and time again. And so we have to get these unmet expectations, one, clarified. You know, I like how you put this irrational. Let's say on my own self, what do I really think this marriage should look like from my role and my wife's role? And then moving from there. And so, Jeremy, you also have on here uncommunicated expectations for marriages.
Right. So I think that's another huge part. Is I'm not sure what you believe, but clairvoyance isn't a real thing. Like this all knowing.
I've tried a lot. Like I'm lying.
Like mind reading. No, this is not how it works. No. If you have an expectation, be willing. And I say this carefully and respectfully, but put on your big boy pants, stand on your own two feet, and say what's on your mind. But therein lies the problem, I think, with a chunk of relationships is you've tried before to stand on your own two feet and say your mind, and you were belittled, you were made to feel stupid, you were treated like a child. So this goes with both sides.
Or you did it at the wrong time.
Or yeah, sure.
You're in the middle of an argument.
Right. Poor time to say, yes. Yeah, right. And so this idea about uncommunicated expectations, if you're thinking, hey, I have always thought this about our relationship, or this is kind of what I thought this would be like, at least get it out there and communicate what you are expecting. And I think this goes with a lot of different areas of relationships. I think one specifically that I think of often is sexual relationship, because people will have this idea about, therein lies the problem too, is people have this idea about what sex in marriage will look like. And this episode's not on sex, but it's a part of
it. Yeah.
Unmet expectations. People have this, oftentimes is perpetuated by pornography, of what marriage will, or what sex in marriage will look like, because they've seen something for so long and they don't realize that that's not what intimacy looks like normally. And so being able to communicate, being able to speak out, this is what I'm thinking about our sex life. This is what I'm thinking about our finances. This is my thoughts about raising our kids. Here are my expectations. My expectations that we're going to go to church 3 times a week and that we're going to do one night, a family night. Well, if you don't get that out there, you're expecting your spouse to read your brain and to mind read. Now, I will say we map our spouse, right? So we're constantly reading them all the time. But to pretend that our spouse can read our brain, we are setting ourselves up for failure.
110%. And that's I think that's where a lot of couples, and we've said this before, you know, it's easier to have sex than talk about sex.
Yeah.
Right? It's easier to spend money than actually sit and talk about money.
Right.
And so having those conversations, though, will resolve and solve a ton of issues, a train load of issues, yeah, if you can define a train load, right?
So yeah. When does the train load start?
going back and looking at, hey, how do we have that communication? And so my wife and I, we didn't have premarital counseling. And so since then, we've went back and had it.
Yeah.
Right. We were already married when we had premarital counseling. Yeah. But what it did is it helped open our eyes and answer a lot of questions that we hadn't thought of previously. And yeah, it helped us to really have some deep conversations over a period of time that helped us to really grow. And so now that we've had those hard conversations in the past, a lot of times now we don't have to have them near as often. 9 times out of 10, it's just a checkup. You know, it's just a, hey, so what do you think about this? You know, it's just quick and it's easy, but we've put in the WORK
right
already. And so if you're in your relationship and you haven't, I encourage you, go do it. You know, we talk about going to, see a married family therapist. You don't have to wait until you're on the brink of divorce to go see somebody. You don't have to, just like we took premarital counseling after we were married.
Right.
And to us, that's a really important thing because it helps with those unmet expectations. And yeah, there's always going to be them. You know, we can't answer every single question in the universe. Even then, you know, things change, the way likes change, people change. So we have to flow and we have to continue those conversations throughout the relationship, which hopefully is still death do us part.
Yeah, absolutely. And just thinking about, there are a lot of different categories that we can have unmet expectations. Obviously, we can have unmet expectations with our sexual life, with our spouse. We can have unmet expectations with child rearing. We can have unmet expectations with our work home life. We can have unmet expectations with our roles. We can have unmet expectations with our family rules. We can have unmet expectations with our in-laws or outlaws. Go check the episode on
yes.
that. We can have a lot of unmet expectations. So I think the key to at least having your expectations met is to start the conversation. I love the old saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And I think that's often what happens with people and their expectations. They aren't aiming at anything or they're not even pulling the bow back and saying, this is what I would like to see happen. If it's with household chores, and I get this a lot. It's shocking how often I get this with the couples I work with. He never helps out around the house. If I had a nickel for every time I've heard that, I would be an extremely wealthy man. But the challenge is when I ask, okay, well, have you communicated to your spouse what you're wanting to see? Well, he knows. He knows what? Well, he knows that there are dishes in the sink, or he knows that the trash needs to be taken out, or he knows that X, Y, or Z needs to happen. Well, he lives there too. I understand. Sure, I get it. But at the same time, maybe his thoughts about household chores were different based off of his family of origin. Maybe his dad got home at the end of the day and didn't do anything. So he thought that's how marriage would be. And so I often say, I wonder what it would look like. I use that phrase a lot. I wonder what it would look like if you were to tell your spouse, I need help in these areas. And that way your expectation of his assistance is communicated. So when he gets home at the end of the night, he knows you're expecting him to do X, Y, or Z. Or I also get this one as well. My wife looks at social media in bed and we don't connect. Okay. Well, have you told her how hurtful that is to you? Well, should she just know I'm huffing and puffing? Well, maybe. Maybe she doesn't care. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the very least, if you're expecting to see something, if you're expecting something to happen, you have to put yourself out there so that oftentimes unmet expectations are uncommunicated expectations. Yeah. Obviously, this isn't quite a blanket statement, but for a lot of people, they really, truly love their spouse. They actually have a deep fondness for them and a desire to make their marriage work. And so if you get expectations out there, communicate them. It gives your spouse an opportunity to say, if I can meet that expectation, I really want to try. This kind of goes back to some of the vulnerability we've talked about in previous episodes.
It reminds me, and I don't know if you've read this book, but it goes 110% with exactly what you were just saying. It's called Scream Free Marriage. And I do not know the author off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I should have wrote this down beforehand. We actually taught in our newlywed class last year's the study guide that goes with it. But it was all about, you know, so many couples have a scream full marriage where they're always upset at each other. They're always throwing something. They're always aggravated at the other one. And how to go from that to a scream free marriage is to talk about your expectations.
Yeah.
To put yourself out there as an adult and say, hey, here's what I want. I'm not in charge of how you take that, right? Yeah. How you process it.
Right.
And your decision from that standpoint is not on me.
Right.
But as for me, this is what I would like. And whether that comes to money or sex or chores or work or anything else, I have communicated my part. Absolutely. So quote unquote, I am blameless, right, from this standpoint yeah. forward. And it's an amazing book. There's a lot of great resources about it. We like I said, we taught it in our newlywed class, and it went over really well because it drives you to say, hey, hang on, like I have ownership in this.
Yeah,
I'm not, you know, innocent yeah. in this process if I'm not communicating what I want. If I haven't sat down and said, this is what I want. So often we run across with some of the relationships that we deal with of, he didn't get me anything for my birthday, or he got me this for my birthday and I really wanted this. Well, how does he know? Well, I've been leaving, you know, the magazines around, or I've, you know, it's open on my phone, or I've started. Yeah, but you haven't said you wanted that.
Right.
And so even in our relationship, I keep a notepad on my phone of, you know, things about Meg. So there's, because I want a PhD in Megan. Stole that from Jeremy Gilliam, everybody. And so, but I have things that I know she's mentioned in the past of things that she may want for a gift, trips that she may want to take, things, food that I know that she likes or doesn't like. And it's not just this big old book. Most of it's in my head, but it's things that I really want to go back and I can say, okay, oh, I don't know, here's a date night idea that she mentioned one time 3 years ago,
yeah,
right, for her birthday this year. I surprised her with a gift that she had mentioned in passing probably 6 months before. And it was something that I had never heard her talk about she wanted. One day she had seen it on social media and was like, wow, I really like this. It's a really nice whatever it was. And I was like, yeah. And just kind of jotted it in my phone and ended up surprising her with it. And it was probably one of the best gifts that I can remember giving her, because I knew and she remembered, hang on, this was something, you know, I had discussed a while back. And so, but going back, having that scream-free marriage goes with communicating those expectations. And I wrote something down here that I had got off a website that basically said, we all love grace and mercy for ourselves, but not always for everybody else. This is so true in our marriages. When it comes to unmet expectations, if you're the offender, our guess is that you appreciate grace when it's given. The whole do unto others, as they say. Yeah. Give your spouse the benefit of the doubt first. Extend grace address the situation for what it is in a calm manner. We all fall short. And that's what we all got to remember. We all fall short. We all forget. We all mess up. And I love this. It says, extend grace first, ask questions later.
Yeah, that's so good.
In the heat of the moment, whenever you see the dishes over there and he's already in bed, or you know, you come home and a meal isn't ready and she's not even thinking about it, extend grace first. Put yourself in your spouse's shoes and say, well, what led to this situation, right? And ask questions later. Extend grace, because you're going to want grace in that same situation. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And so I love that. I wrote it down in several spots. Was extend grace first, ask questions later. It just may turn those unmet expectations upside down.
Yeah.
And I love that, how it just flips the whole scenario, flips the conversation of, am I doing my part? Yeah. How can I help? How can I extend grace? Because I know I'm going to need grace at some point.
So I think, kind of recapping, first, think about, are my expectations, is it rational or irrational? Identify why that may be. Secondly, I have to be vulnerable enough to communicate what I am expecting or what I think I would like to see. And then lastly, with what you just said, extend grace first, ask questions later. And I think doing those three things will help our listeners really advance this whole idea of unmet expectations.
Great.
So appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you guys next week.